In response to the September 11th attacks, Iran played a constructive role in deciding to support our candidate for the presidency of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, as opposed to the candidate from the Northern Alliance that Iran had originally wanted. But Iran played a relatively constructive role, and Iran still, which is because Iran neighbors Afghanistan, it has continued a policy of trying to influence what the outcomes of Afghanistan through funding of schools and roads and maintaining ties with politicians over there. So Iran has an interest in maintaining stability in Afghanistan and maintaining this pro-American and pro-Iranian government that exists today. When it comes to Iran, as we know, there was a revolution in Iran. Began in 1978 and then in 1979. In 1980, shortly after the revolution, Saddam Hussein's Iraq invaded Iran. Iran and Iraq engaged in an 8-year war, a devastating war that killed upwards, according to some estimates, a million people on both sides. So it was certainly one of the most brutal wars in recent memory. Iran, ever since then, established a policy of regime change against Saddam Hussein. Iran was able to foment this policy because religious ties between Iran and the Shia cities of Iraq go back over a millennium. And these religious and cultural ties were used by the new emerging Islamic Republic to foment opposition to Saddam Hussein and support what would ultimately be, hopefully, a takeover of the government. It was understood by Middle Eastern analysts, myself, that certainly anybody who looked at the situation, that if and when Saddam Hussein was removed, it would be pro-Iranian groups that would be most in a position to take over the country. The majority of Iraqis are Shia, just like the majority of Iranians are Shia, rather than Sunni. And Iran established strong ties with the Shia militias and political organizations. So whether what happened after Saddam Hussein would be a democracy, where voting was involved, or a civil war, Iran was in the best position to influence the outcome of that. And we see today a pro-Iranian / pro-American government sitting in Iran. Now, when we talk about Iran's presence in Iraq, it's not a question of should Iran be in Iraq or not. The bigger question is, what do we do because they are in Iran, and they are going to be in Iran? To ask Iran not to be involved in its neighboring country with whom it fought an 8-year war, to expect that to somehow happen, is to really ask for the impossible, and to really bring in an existential question for the regime of Iran. That is, the regime wants to survive, and its actions are in line with this desire to survive. So we have to keep that in mind when we discuss Iran's presence in Iraq. Reason number two to engage Iran in diplomacy. This is a long-term reason, not necessarily an immediate reason. But that's Iran's pro-Americanism. Tom Friedman from the New York Times sort of says, Iran is the most pro-American country in the Middle East after Israel. Of course, he's not referring to the government, which is probably the most anti-American, but he's talking about the people of Iran. Two-thirds of the population in Iran is under the age of 35. These are people who mostly have known only the revolution, and they're increasingly educated and moderate. And in vast contrast to the Arab world, as we know, Iran is not an Arab country, in vast contrast to the Arab world, Iran is much more moderate and pro-American. And you see that from opinion polls. There was a 2002 opinion poll commissioned by the parliament in Iran, by reformists inside the parliament, that is, people who are fighting the sort of status quo, more or less. And these reformist pollsters found that nearly 70% of Iranians were in favor of resumed dialogue with the United States. That goes in line with the voting patterns of the 1990s. The Iranians voted overwhelmingly for Mohammad Khatami, the former reformist president who ran the platform of improved relations with the United States. Now, I've been to I've traveled a bit. I've been to Turkey. In Turkey, you know, I look Middle Eastern, but if I say I'm American, I start getting lectured about how horrible America is and how great Osama bin Laden is. Even in Western Europe, I get lectured as soon as I hear someone else say I'm American. Iran is the only country where I would tell people, be proud to be an American in Iran. Because it's the only place where, among the people, not the government, but the people, you can be welcome and secure in knowing that you will be appreciated for being an American, not just despite the fact that you're an American. Now, this macro-American support is important in the long run. When we're fighting a war on terror, it's not just about guns. It's also about the feelings of people and the strategies of countries in the long term. This, the pro-Americanism, is not unconditional. I spoke with a young man in Iran, fairly, you know, master's degree, educated, engineer, upwardly mobile, and I asked him about a potential war between the United States and Iran, and he said, look, I hate my government, and I love America, but if America attacks us, I will join my government and fight America. This is something that makes it not surprising that the current government is not shying away from any sort of an airstrike campaign against it. Because it knows, just as in the 1980s, just as during the Iran-Iraq War, with a few exceptions, except for some radical so-called opposition groups like the Mujahideen, and we can talk about that later, Iranians love their country more than they hate the government. And Iranians rallied around the new Islamic government during the 1980s, and 8 years of bombing by Saddam Hussein didn't create regime change. It stalled political progress in Iran, and it made the government stronger. So we should always look at the long term. Reason number three to engage Iran in dialogue. Current President Ahmadinejad's comments are really irrelevant. Ahmadinejad is an elected president of Iran, which means he's not the most powerful person in Iran. If the elected office were the most powerful, it would be a democracy, but it's not. In Iran, the president doesn't have control over his armed forces. The president doesn't have control over the powerful judiciary. Even the militias on the ground that enforce Islamic dress code. We saw the problems that former reformist President Khatami faced. He was running on a platform of improved rights for women, improved relations with the outside world. He didn't have such an easy time because he didn't control the most powerful institutions in Iran. When he's talking about Ahmadinejad, when he makes anti-Semitic statements about how Israel should be destroyed, etc., or he hopes that it one day will be destroyed, you know, he didn't say he was personally going to destroy it. But when he's talking about these things, we have to put it into perspective. Iran has become more popular in the Arab world since Ahmadinejad came to power. That's very important for Iran's nuclear program. That is, so this verbal war between Israel and Iran benefits Iran in the Arab world. The anti-Israel